Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to start this chapter, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, We Must Endure Hardship. As believers, no one promised us a rose garden. Can I get amen? Every day is not, oh, wow, I'm just floating on clouds and we're on the mountaintop. No, we're going to experience valleys in our walk. Can I get amen? And we're going to see that Paul's instructing his dearly beloved son. He calls him son in the faith, which is Timothy, that you are to endure, endure. Let's read verses 1 through 6. Actually, it's 1 through 7. And let's just see where the Spirit of God takes us. Amen. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's always referring to grace and strength. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Here, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's going to show several types of allegories, foreshadows, things that we can identify with regarding the walk of a Christian. Verse 5, and also if anyone completes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. And verse 7, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Amen. So let's look at verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Why is he telling them to be strong? Why? Because we've been reading in the first chapter and the first book that there are false prophets, there's enemies to the cross, there's people that are going to try to deter him from the call. And let me just say this, that's what the enemy has assigned himself to do against us. Can I get amen? We are to gird ourselves up in truth. And we are to clothe ourselves with his righteousness. And we are to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God. Amen? And this is why he's saying be strong in the grace in Christ Jesus. Not in your own strength. Because if you're walking in your own strength, guess what? You're about ready to trip and fall. We need the grace of God. We need the power of God. Without God's power, we're done. We're done. Can I get amen? And so, saints, many of Paul's associates, they had deserted him. We read already, right? We read that many left Paul. Why? Because it was a hard walk. Oh, yes. It's a hard walk. If you're living for God, sanctified, set apart, it's not an easy road. Can I get amen? Because you're going to be tempted the most when you're walking with Christ. You'll be tempted. And so Paul challenged his dear son to be unashamed of the gospel, unashamed of his standing as a leader in the Christian church, unafraid of the false teachers, courageous through hardship and persecution. So one of the things that Paul left Timothy, we could see this in Romans, and this is for us today, is right up here in Scripture. It says, for I am not ashamed. Say that with me. I am not ashamed. One more time. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And guess what? God has enabled us to believe. Can I get amen? So that applies to us. There's people that won't believe this. I saw that firsthand on Sunday. There's not people that will believe our message. But that's not for us to judge. Can I get amen? We are to be not ashamed of the gospel. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and then also for us the Greek, meaning us Gentiles. Then it goes on to say, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, when you break down the just shall live by faith, that means us who have been justified by God's grace, just as if we never sinned. How does that work? That's the mind of God. Only God can bless us that way. We can't do that. We'll be self-deceived. It is God's righteousness that comes upon us through faith by the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Now, Paul wrote this down for Timothy, but he also knows that the scriptures that was written by Dr. Luke and Mark and Matthew and John, our beloved, it was really specific when Jesus would state this. They would write it down because they knew it was Jesus. That's why in your Bibles, you'll see the red writing that refers to what Jesus quoted. But look right up here. Mark 8:38, Jesus said, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Wow. Wow. What God is saying tonight is don't put your head in the sand like an ostrich. When God opens a door for you to teach and preach and to share and to witness and to glorify him and to testify, man, don't put duct tape on your mouth. God says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you when I come. Look at 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, when who appears? Jesus. We may have confidence and not what? Be ashamed. Can I get an amen? And not be ashamed before him at his coming. This is why we need to what? Live a pure life. Live a life of chastity. Live a life of purity and holiness, for which man no one will see the Lord. So we have to walk in holiness. Can I get an amen? Look at this. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Man, you know what? That didn't ring the bell. When I was studying this, it didn't occur to me that until Jesus came to set us free, we couldn't walk this walk. We couldn't live in his righteousness. We were enemies to the cross. But when he set us free, it's clear now that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So that's us believers in Christ. We can now walk in his ways and lean on him, where we were walking in our own understanding back in the day. Can I get amen? I have a question right up here. It says, how can someone be strong with God's favor? How can someone be strong with God's favor? And so the term implies being helped by someone else. In this case, we're being helped by God 24/7. 24/7. Paul was telling Timothy to draw strength from God as he focused on the favor that he would receive through his relationship with Christ Jesus. How many can honestly say that you have favor with God? Every one of us in here. Can I get an amen? He's blessed us beyond comprehension. He has kept us even when we didn't want to be kept. Come on, there's days that, man, we sinned, we fallen short, man, we tripped, we dropped the ball, we fumbled the ball. Come on, we've all had those days. Can I get amen? But guess what? As a child of God, you don't wallow in it and stay in it. He convicts you, you get up from that and say, oh God, cleanse me, wash me, and then you keep moving on. Amen? The non-believer stays in there. It's like taking a swine or a pig from its element, and you take him out of his mud pen. You take him into the house, and you wash him, cleanse him, give him a milk bath, put a bow tie on him, put some foo-foo juice on him, and as soon as you open the front door, bam, he goes right back into the mud. That's a picture of an unbeliever. That's the picture of a sinner who has no knowledge of God. And so all they want to do is live in that. But we, hallelujah, God has translated us from darkness into his marvelous light. So we're no longer like a swine. We are sheep that go bah, bah. And we hear his voice. Can I get an amen? We are all sheep of his pasture. Not pastor, but pasture. Meaning a field where he has placed us in. All the believers around the world are in his pasture. Praise God. And guess what? There's a little area for us where every day we graze in it. Hallelujah. And he feeds us from his word. Thank you, God. And so the key is to have God's strength. Can I get an amen? That's what he was referring to. That's what Paul was writing to Timothy. Let's look at this scripture right up here. I can do all things through him who what? Strengthens me. Only God can strengthen us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look at Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. How many of you in your walk with God can honestly say, at one time or another, you were dismayed? You thought you were left alone. You thought God abandoned you. You thought God's not going to help you. You thought God said, well, I'm sorry, I'm too busy right now. No. He is concerned for every one of us at the same time. We serve a mighty God. Look at this. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wow. Thank you, God. See, these scriptures, these little scriptures that sometimes I put up, sometimes we don't need to go to the bottle for medicine that a doctor prescribes. This is your teaspoon right here. Amen. What's that old song? A spoonful of medicine keeps the what? Yeah, there you go. I knew I had it somewhere like that. But this is our medicine. The Word of God. And when you lean upon God's Word, he will supernaturally do the things you cannot see with your natural eye. All of a sudden, you start feeling good. All of a sudden, that heaviness lifts. And he gives you joy unspeakable. Hallelujah. So a lot of times when we were going through something, sometimes you have to just let God, allow him to do his thing. And be like an eagle. Look at this right up here. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, it was several years ago. We were in Israel and there was this one phenomenal pastor from South America who has a church of over 10,000, and he spoke at the conference we were at. And you know what he shared? He shared that an eagle usually lives about 80, 85 years of age. It has almost the same length of time that us humans have here on earth. But when it reaches around 35, 40, because it's an animal of prey, the claws get decayed and broken, and the beak gets kind of tattered and torn. The feathers need to be re-strengthened. So you know what that eagle does? It knows. It's like a built-in clock. It'll fly up to a high mountain, and it stays up there. And it finishes breaking off the beak, and a new beak grows, and feathers come back, and the claws come back, and that bird knows when it's ready. Then it'll, by faith, it's almost like faith, it flies off the mountain, and it's either going to crash and die, or it's going to take flight again, and then God gives it another 30 to 40 years. This is where the scripture came from. Look, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I don't care what you're going through, but sometimes we have to just wait on the Lord. And not murmur and complain. Just wait. And watch God come through like a champ. Has he failed you yet? No. So let's go to verse 2 in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is what God is saying for us to do, is teach not just people in our church, but teach your family, teach your relatives, teach your neighbors, teach your friends, acquaintances, those on the job, somewhere that you run into, but teach them the Word of God. We're responsible now for the Word. Can I get amen? We are. And Timothy heard Paul preach to many diverse groups of people. The message Paul wanted Timothy to guard was not a privately shared secret, but the accumulation of public teaching. Paul, he wasn't ashamed. He went from city to city to city to city. This is why there's a book of Ephesians, book of Romans, book of Corinthians, book of Colossians. These are all cities that he traveled to bring the word. And guess what? Guess where your Roman Empire is? Guess where your Colossian city is? Your neighbor right next door. You don't have to go too far. You don't. It's the people around your life. Look what Dr. Luke wrote right here. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. So I'd rather be faithful in the things of God, no matter how small they are, because God will allow you to handle the greater things that he gives you. Can I get an amen? Paul mentioned Timothy that his essential role as a guardian meant ensuring that these great truths were taught to trustworthy people who are able to pass it on to others. Praise God. And for those who receive these wonderful truths, God bless them. Timothy was to keep the process of the teaching going. This is why these letters came to him from Paul. Paul was concerned about him. Paul wanted him to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we are here on Wednesday night Bible study. Why? Because God wants us to grow further in our faith. Can I get amen? This is a pattern for discipleship. It requires leaders to have a desire for developing leaders who can carry on the ministry. Listen, we're not going to always be here. Can I get amen? It's what you leave behind is what counts. Thank you, God. Because the Word of God talks about being faithful to God, being faithful to the ministry, being faithful to one another. Right up here in Proverbs, look at this. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will go unpunished. There's some folks, man, they just want to cut corners and get on that mountaintop and not labor to get there. Look at this next verse here in Proverbs. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. What God is saying, stay true to him. Stay true to one another. Stay true to the ministry where God has called you. Stay true to your husband and wives, your children, and stay true to your singlehood. There's nothing wrong with being single. Can I get amen? Because those who are single, God is your husband. God is your all in all. Can I get amen? He's everything that you need. And when he's ready to bless you with further things that he wants you to be in, man, he's going to open the door wide open and you're going to walk in and you're going to know it's Jesus. It's when we try to make things happen on our own. Oh, yeah. I will share it like this. If I'm going to eat some popcorn at home, I'd rather put it on the stove and just, you know, wait till it starts popping in the pan. Some folks would just throw it in the microwave. Yeah, wait till it cools off. Now you're eating rubber shoes. Yeah, as soon as it cools off. And so, Saints, Paul, there has been a link from disciple to disciple. So throughout these generations, you know how we got here? Somebody discipled us. Someone discipled you. Oh, yeah. Go back. Go back in your first walk with Christ. Someone was assigned to your life and raised you up and gave you the desire to follow him. Oh, yeah. For me, it was 20 years ago. A wonderful couple named David and Lisa Calvani. They raised me up for 7 years. They sowed into my life. Then they moved on. And then when it was time to do ministry, God put the prophets in my life, Pastor Rod and Sister Marietta, Pastor Matt's mom and dad. And they've been sowing into my life since. You know, before I come out on Sunday morning, I hear from the Lord because they've been praying for me. And everything they see in the Spirit, it manifests right here. You know why? Because there's a trust there. There's a oneness. There's a one accord in the Spirit of God. And when a pastor can humble himself and hear and have someone sow into their life, that is the most special thing. It's called humility. You have to humble yourself because not all pastors know it all and have it all. Can I get amen? Mm-mm. We rely on God. That's who I rely on. I need the Lord, just like you need the Lord. Can I get amen? Let's look at verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, there's going to be types of metaphors. There's going to be types of symbolic suggestions that Paul's writing to his dear son Timothy. Now, once again, dear son in the Lord, in the faith. That's not his biological son, but he's always saying, my son. And so Paul had given this warning in Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. It says, therefore, you must endure. Saints, I can be here all night sharing the things that God allowed me to go through to take me to this point. A whole lot of hardship. I've been married to Sister Lana for 20 years, and she's seen me going through some hardship. And she knows, she's a witness of when you're in the ministry, you're going to go and experience some things. Someone told me, he goes, how long have you been pastoring? I go, 8 years. He goes, wow. I go, yeah, man. And you know what? Pastors around the world, you need to have thick skin. Some thick skin. Because you're going to see the good, the bad, and the ugly in ministry. And it's how you handle it. How you trust God. How you keep moving with God. Can I get it? Even when things don't look like they're supposed to, you got to trust the Lord. And so this was an exhortation to Timothy. And it's found right here in Acts where Paul said, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Saints, I'm here to let you know it's not going to be a rose garden when Jesus comes back. We're seeing right now. We're seeing the beginning of these tribulations in the world right now. We're seeing it firsthand. We're seeing the erosion of the faith in our own country. And what's God saying to us? That we are to be strengthened in these times. Can I get amen? The worst is still yet to come. God forbid bombs drop on our cities. God forbid. And this is why we need to pray. We're living in some wicked times. I shared that on Sunday morning. We're living in some wicked times. We need to pray. Can I get amen? How many believe we are living in the days of Noah? Where the hearts of men and women, I'm talking about the unbelievers, are continually evil. They scheme up all kinds of things. They conjure up all kinds of atrocities and all kinds of manner of things that are filled with iniquity. But God, hallelujah, but God is on our side. Can I get amen? He's on our side. And so in verse 23 it says, so when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And so we are to pray for those that are in the faith. Amen? Lay hands, especially the young ones that are coming into Christ. Man, wrap your arms around them and let them know you can make it. You can do it. Some of us have been walking for over 30 years. And we've gone through some things. And so when the enemy comes back for its second or third round, you're going to have a little bit more discernment that this is coming from the enemy, not, you know. But for baby Christians, man, it's tough. Because all the devil wants to do is rob your faith and steal you of your joy. And say, oh, man, this is all a lie. Just go back out in the world. You are having more fun back out there. That's a lie from the pit. Can I get amen? Amen. That's a lie from the pit. So Paul was returning to a theme that he knew would test the mettle of his disciples. And that testing is called suffering. Paul wanted young Timothy to have no illusions, being faithful to the truth, unwilling to twist it for personal gain. And Paul had suffered so Timothy would endure suffering along with him who was eventually in prison. You know, Timothy followed Paul, and the worst happened to Timothy. It's right up here in Hebrews. Look at this. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see if he comes shortly. So he was apprehended, and he was set free. Let me just say this. We're still blessed in this country to preach the gospel. Go try preaching the gospel in North Korea. Your house will be ambushed. They'll put you in a concentration camp. They'll feed you one time a day, give you a little cup of water maybe, because you have to have water to live. And you're out there breaking rocks, being treated like a dog for the gospel's sake. Oh, yeah. There's people right now that are being martyred, suffering for even right now, not just back then, right now. There's thousands that have lost their heads in the Middle East for the cause of Christ. And this is why, be careful. When we see these things, when we see the images, pray for them, right? Pray for the families. Drop that bag of popcorn, man, and start praying. Pray for these people. We're going through right now. Pray that we never have to go through like that in this nation. Can I get amen? But revival will come. And I've been saying this like a broken record. It's not going to come during peacetime. It's going to come with calamity. And so Paul followed three examples to illustrate the attitude that Christ's followers must go through and the types of suffering. And notice we're going to see that he talks about a farmer, he talks about a soldier, and he talks about an athlete. All these identify the type of Christians that he's identifying through the Word of God. Athletes to keep pressing, amen, a soldier to take the command of the Lord, and a farmer who sows seeds, and then they're reaping the reward that comes out from the ground. Let me just say this. When you're sowing seeds and people are getting saved, God's storing up, hallelujah, treasure for you. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. We serve a mighty God. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:7 right up here. What soldier in the army has to pay his own expenses? And have you ever heard of a farmer who harvests his crops and doesn't have the right to eat some of it? What shepherd takes care of a flock of sheep and goats and isn't allowed to drink some of the milk? So look what's identified here. A soldier? A farmer? An athlete? My goodness. This is why it's not an easy road if you're looking at it through the eyes of the flesh, but through the eyes of the Spirit of God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let's go to verse 4 in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at this. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Did you know that you are a soldier in the army of the Lord? You know how we sing that song? You're a soldier in the army of the Lord. Oh, okay, you never heard that one. That's taking me back to the old Pentecostal days, man. We said, hit that tambourine and just, bah, bah, bah. Come on, you know that song. Paul instilled a sense of purpose and obedience in Timothy. A good soldier obeys the commanding officer. The soldier's call to service takes precedence over the affairs of this life, referring to any business or distraction that gets in the way of the mission. Nothing should get in your way. Can I get an amen? When God's called you to preach, preach. When God's called you to teach, teach. Can I get an amen? When God calls you to exhort, exhort. Thank you, God. And there are times, unfortunately, as a pastor, sometimes you got to give a rebuke. That's the hurting part of ministry, when you have to send a rebuke. And you know what? I pray for those that have to receive a rebuke. You know what I pray for? That they would say, yes, Lord. Thank you, God. I needed that. Thank you, God. Yeah, I didn't see it, God. I was blindsided. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the man of God who came to bring correction. But there are some that'll cut and run with a hurt tail. And then they go set up camp somewhere else, and they still brought that junk that was in the trunk with them. And it starts all over again because it's never been dealt with. That's the hard part of ministry, is when you have to bring correction. You know, can you go back to your BC years when you were in school? Go back to your school years and then your young adult. Man, we were all rebels without a cause. Come on. How many teachers did you obey, let alone your own parents? And now that we come into the faith of Christ, God is saying, now learn to obey, because back then you didn't. Now learn to obey and watch me bless your life. We're not obeying because we're standing in, no, we're obeying because we love Him. And we thank God He saved us from a fiery hell. Man, when you actually see what He saved you from, hallelujah, man, you will love Him all day. Man, it's like my little dog. Every time he sees me, he waves his tail. If I have to say, go over there and stand still, or I'm not, you know, he'll go there, and then within moments, he'll come back and wave his tail. We need to have that same adoration toward God. Can I get an amen? We should always be happy on who He is. Man, Lord, I love you. I bless you. I praise you. And then sometimes He has to bring a rod of correction. But man, after we've learned from it, we need to run back and say, thank you, God, I needed it. Amen. Wow. The phrase tied up means entangled, absorbed. While this life's involvements are not wrong in themselves, they become a problem if the Christian gets so entangled in them that his ministry or her ministry suffers. And you know why it suffers? Because we do contrary to what Acts says right up here. Look at this. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. Can I get amen? Amen. If God's called you, if God's blessed you, man, obey Him. Just obey Him. Are we going to live a perfect life? No. And when we drop the ball, oh God, help me pick back up and help me keep running. And let me dive over the goal line. Thank you, Jesus. Paul wanted Timothy to understand that a good minister of the gospel must have a single-minded purpose, to preach the truth, and if necessary, to suffer for it. I've suffered many things in ministry. And not that people are bad. No. Sometimes I did it to myself. Can I get an amen? We're all not perfect. But this is why the word of God comes just like this in Peter. Look at this. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Stay humble before God. And if correction comes, stay humble. When God blesses, stay humble. When God uses you, stay humble. Don't get exalted when God's using you. Then you're going to think it's all about you. It's not about you. It's about Him. Amen? Stay humble. Why? Because then, that He may exalt you in due time. casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Be sober. You know what that means? You know, a lot of people think, well, you know what, man, you're sipping on that juice. No. Be sober from the things of this world that'll intoxicate you. That's what it means. Don't get caught up in the worldliness. Don't get caught up in this, in the mindset of this world. It'll intoxicate you. You won't have no prayer time. You won't love the things of God. You'll be so involved in the things of this world that's passing away. That's why it says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, there's an old saying, an idle mind is the playground of the devil. If you're not involved with the things of God, if they don't interest you, man, here comes Slewfoot. He coming to get you. You know why? Because he knows you're a child of God. And if he sees a weak link on the chain, that's who he goes to. Look at those animal, I love those shows that they show about the predators in Africa, like the lions chasing their prey. They're always looking for the little weak link or the little baby calf. Why? Because it's less of a hassle. If they go after the big one, then here comes some more big ones, man, to chase them off. They look for the weak link. So if you're weak in your faith, here comes Slewfoot. Man, I'm going to chew them up, spit them out. I'm going to have them walk away from God. You know, the Old Testament talks about a story where this one king wanted to curse the nation of Israel, but he couldn't. It couldn't come out. So you know what he caused them to do? He sent women in the camps and they sinned. And so God has to judge sin. And that's what he did. He tempted them. They fell for the temptation. And man, God had to chastise them. But you know that perpetrator that did that? God got a hold of him and destroyed him. So one of the key saints is right here in verse 9. Resist. Say that with me. Resist him. One more time. Resist him. Man, old Slewfoot is going to try to come with all different camouflages. He's going to wear different masks. He's going to look different. She may look different. He comes in different forms. Bible says he even comes as an angel of light to deceive you. Look at this. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We just talked about, didn't we? Man, they're going through. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. There are some things we're going to go through. How many of you can honestly say you've been through serious trials as a believer? Oh, come on. One day God's going to allow me to share this one trial. He hasn't given me permission to share it yet. But I went through a trial. And it was like, bam, my face was planted on the ground for 17 months. And I didn't murmur and complain. I waited on the Lord. And guess what? He took care of all my business. He even got a hold of my enemy. Oh, yeah. One day I'll share it. I'm not in a position right now to share that. God says, you know, when I give it to you, release it to edify the body. Look at this. Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthened, and then he'll settle you. What does he settle us for? So that we can have his power to continue to do the work of the Lord. Thank you, God. Man, you know what? If you're all confused and you're all tattered and battered, and man, you're ready to fall off the truck, he can't use you. You're more worried about the things that right now that are causing you to be distraught. He wants your mind and your heart and your soul, hallelujah, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. So you can keep on doing what he's called you to do. And so when the lies come, when all the things that come from the enemy, you got to learn how to bind it and rebuke it. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God will even use lying lips against you. Hallelujah. But you got to be strong in the power of the Lord. And he will lift you up. Oh, yeah, the enemy will use anything. He'll try to attack your finances. He'll try to attack your health. He'll try to attack many aspects of your life. But hallelujah, when God has hands upon your life, hallelujah, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah, and he has given us life and life more abundantly. So walk in that grace, walk in his love, walk in the power of his might. Hallelujah. And man, nothing could ever get in your way. Can I get an amen? Nothing can. Because God is with us. And to him, look at this. After you suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Hallelujah. Look at we're going to verse 5. Hallelujah. We got a few minutes. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, and now he's talking about an athlete, is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So next, Paul used the athlete as an example. A competitor had to know the rules of the event, train diligently with the understanding of the rules, and finally compete according to the rules. Only then a competitor can be qualified to enter into that event. Every event was governed by rules, boundaries, and an athlete who failed to compete within those boundaries faced disqualification. But those who competed fairly were eligible to receive the victor's prize. So now, this word comes up, disqualification. None of us want to be disqualified in this race. Can I get an amen? Amen. Huh? When God's hands upon you, man, God will empower you all the way to the very end. But there are some people, for whatever reason, they'll disqualify themselves. And I'm not talking, this is not a salvation issue. This is where God's called you to ministry, to serve. And then they find themselves being disqualified because of their own pride. Pride is a killer. Look at the word of God right up here in Titus. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Now, you know what he's talking about? Our friends, our Jewish friends, they're under the law. They don't understand grace. But then it also talks about the religious folks of our day. They're religious, have no relationship with Christ. Okay, that's not you and I. Can I get amen? So look at this, insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. Man, there's people, man, you remember that old saying? Man, they're talking out the side of their neck. Remember back in the day? Okay, you don't remember that. Look at this. Look at verse 12. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. So listen, well, you know what this is saying in a nutshell? If it's not written in God's word and someone's giving you a whole bunch of flack, rebuke it. Because they're just trying to deceive you. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you remember. I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago. There were billboards everywhere from this old man that said, Jesus is coming on this day. Harold Camping. That was his name. It was called Family Radio. And he was Bible says no one knows the day or the hour, but only the Father. He lets us know what time we're living, but you can't predict dates. Can I get amen? You start predicting dates, you'll be caught up right up here as a false teacher. Look at this. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. These are folks, man, they don't regard anything about the things of God. And when they look at you as a believer, they don't even really truly regard you either. They'll look at you through their eyes of flesh. Well, you needed God. That was good for you. I'm glad you found God. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable. Man, you know what abominable means? That's the highest form of rebellion to God, is an abomination. When God calls it an abomination, we better call it an abomination. Disobedient and disqualified for every good work. See, the child of God that's born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, loving him, worshiping him, we're not in that category, praise God. The ones that have been disqualified are the ones that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Those are the religious folks. Those are the wannabes. I want to be like you, but no power. Oh, Jesus, help us. But God tells us in his word that to all things are pure, to all things are defiled, unbelieving. God is a good God. How many believe God's a good God? You better believe that. So now look at this. Let's go to verse 6. We're coming in for our close tonight. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. So he's telling Timothy, listen, when you're sowing into the lives of men and women, man, I'll tell you what blessed my heart. I don't know if you guys remember Sister Jen. She came here and preached. She's like a prophetess. Well, her whole family started out, their kids were like maybe 2 or 3 years old. They started out in the home fellowship with us at my home. And as years gone on, they stayed true in the faith. Now they're going to a church where their daughter and their son, Kalani and Kapoli, they're leading home Bible studies with their youth group from their school. And then Sister Jen hit me. She goes, Pastor Fee, she goes, this is your fruit. I go, wow. It humbled me because I remember they were just little babies. And now they're leading worship and they're praising God. God reminded me, don't look at your circumstance. God had to come and strengthen me. He says, look, this is what you sowed into their lives, and look, this is the fruit of it. I'm sharing this, so never give up. Can I get amen? Never be discouraged. God will strengthen you, and God will remind you how good he is to you. Don't stop believing God for those things that pertain to your life. Can I get amen? The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. And so from Timothy should learn that physical labor produces results, but only hardworking farmers will enjoy the fruit of their labor, a good crop. Now, the farmer knows that the seeds will not plant themselves. Can I get amen? The harvest will not walk into the barn all by itself. If you want your room to be clean, get up and clean it. Don't just, I'm going to wake up and it's squeaky clean. Or I really want to know the Word of God. You can't go to bed and put this on your head like this and then wake up and you know the Word by osmosis. No, you got to read it. You got to get in. You got to study. You got to dig. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus. the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer all teach us the same lesson, to persevere to the end. Can I get amen? While also helping us understand other requirements for Christian service. Let's look at our first principle right up here. Look, number one, the soldier must trust the commanding officer and desire to please him so that obeying the commander becomes central even when difficulties are encountered. Pleasing Christ gives strength to endure hardship. Can I get amen? Amen. Let's look at our next principle. Number two, the athlete accepts the rules of the competition in order to complete the challenge of the game, including its difficulties. You ever try to run a 26-mile marathon? Many of us could just barely make it out the door right here without breathing hard. I'm one of them. I'm telling it. Let alone 26 miles? Jesus. Wake me up from my nap. Look at number three. The farmer works hard at plowing, planting, waiting, weeding, and harvesting. And it is entitled to enjoy the results. You know, I Sister Ilana always shares with me, we need to plant some fruit trees out there. You know what my problem is? I can't wait until they bear fruit. They go, how long do I have to wait till I see something? We planted that little apple tree out here when we first got here. Man, there wasn't, I go, we're ready to rip this out. Now it brings forth a little bit of apples every year. I go, oh my gosh. But you know what? It's all in God's time. It's all in God's time. So never for one moment believe the enemy that when you sown the seeds of God into people's lives, your children, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your relatives, your neighbors, it will not come back void. Can I get amen? Amen. You got to believe, hallelujah, God's going to bring forth a harvest. Thank you, God, because the word of God is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to go down and penetrate the bone and marrow. My goodness, God will go further, hallelujah, than you can even think he can. Man, God's working on both sides of the fence. Hallelujah, oh yes, he's working it because he loves you. He loves us. He wants the best for us. Can I get amen? Look at number four right up here. The soldier must submit to the officer, the athlete to the code of the competition, the farmer to the laws of nature and agriculture. The believer submits to Jesus Christ. In him, we have a gracious commanding officer. Can I get amen? Jesus is gracious to you and I. He's not a slave master. Aren't you so blessed? Hallelujah. No, he delivered us from slew foot. Oh, yes, he did. Man, we used to love the things, what the enemy was all about, huh? I don't even like to call him the devil. You know why? Because that's even giving him glory. He's just old slew foot that's going to go down to the pit of hell that's prepared for him and his angels. And when you get a hold of how God saved us from following him, you'll understand the grace of God. You'll understand the mercy of God. In him, we have a gracious commanding officer, one who provides an example and directions for our course and who rewards the hard and patient work of his servants. Don't give up. Don't give up, saints. Come on, it's not that hard. This walk with God is not hard. You just got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. That's how it works. And so the last verse in this chapter that we will conclude tonight with, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Listen, this is the time to not have little pity parties, to understand the things that are taking place in your life right now. God has allowed it. It didn't take him by surprise. If you're going through right now, he will see you through. Hallelujah. All the things that you've done for him, he will bring it to fruition. And all the things you don't see this side of heaven, he will show you up in heaven. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when he comes back for us, he's coming with his rewards for us. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Stay humble. Stay pure. Stay holy. Have a contrite heart before him. Can I get an amen? And when he comes and says, listen, I need you not to do that no more, or turn from that, you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Obey, obey, obey. Learn to obey. I close with this little story someone told me. And it still resonates in my heart. And then we'll close. But someone shared this story, wonderful story. Okay, so there was heaven. Everyone who are all believers are now in heaven. God came to take the church home. So there's a line that goes for miles and miles and miles. And they're all going to Jesus one by one. And he's given the rewards. And so there's this little old lady who's next in line. And there's someone, a young guy, right behind her. And so this guy kind of has a kind of boasting to the people behind him in the line. And so the little old lady, she's before Christ. And God said, I'm going to bless you with this mansion. I'm going to bless you with so much. I'm going to give you these jewels that were created on earth. I'm going to give you a vast of an inheritance up here. And she was just so humble and so discreet. And so the guy that was waiting for his turn, he was telling all the people behind him, we see all she's getting? Wait till you see what I get. And so he was boasting about all the things he did and all these things, man. And so after God poured out on this little old lady abundance of blessings, here comes that young guy. He's standing for his blessing. And so the Lord looked at him and said, okay, here you go. He gave him a Schwinn 10-speed bike to ride around in heaven. And he goes, okay. He took it and he rode off in his bike, right? So the next day comes, and he's standing on the corner of Hallelujah and Thank You, Jesus. And so some people saw the young guy. And he was on his bike and he was crossing. They said, hey, 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 what else did you get from God? He goes, I just got this bike. And so they said, are you okay with that? Are you happy? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I'm so thankful for the bike. You see that guy over there? He got a skateboard. And he goes, who's that? He goes, that was my pastor. Jesus, help us. Listen, the moral to the story, stay humble before God. Amen. Don't be patting yourself on the, man, look what I'm doing. Look what God. No, man. It's all for the glory of God. Can I get amen? Amen. We are nothing without him. Hallelujah. Boast in Christ. But don't boast in what you're doing for him. Because you know what? That's your reward right then and there. Oh, trust in the Lord. Come on, let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. And Lord, I'm praying right now, Lord, who's listening to this message. Someone maybe burned a CD and gave it to someone in their life, or maybe you're tuning in, or you're surfing the website and you typed in amazing and Amazing Grace popped up, and now you're listening to this message. And maybe you never gave your heart to Christ, and God is calling you right now. And so if that's you, we want to just share with you God's love and that God has called you from the foundation of the world. He's speaking to you right now. He's giving you ears to hear and eyes to see. He's drawing you to the cross right now. And if that's you, we want to pray a simple prayer with you. And know this, that it is not the prayer that saves you. It is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save. And so if that's you right now, pray this simple prayer. It's not complicated. Even a child cannot err in this prayer. But it is a tool that God has given mankind down here on earth. That tool is called prayer. And that's to communicate with the holy God that's in heaven. So if that's you right now, pray this simple prayer. It goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give them praise and glory in the house.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.